When the metals, for example, jellified, did they come back to their original shape, or was that it? They were just a blob of whatever.
They were a big, massive blob of materials that were, look, almost incomprehensible and actually surrealistic. And then, of course, they'd be analyzed and tested and see what actually happened to them. And they found that some of these samples seemed to be altered in time, according to the Max Planck Group in Germany.
Now, explain that.
It's like it's continuously changing the material itself. The magnetic structure, the grain structure, keeps changing with time. This is just verbal, of course, from the Max Planck Institute in Germany, but they were fascinated by the effects. And these were small test samples. Like some of the samples are 3-inch diameter bars that are maybe 20 inches long of stainless steel or aluminum. I just say aluminum because I can't say aluminum.
So, it's almost like the material's alive if it continues to change.
To see it on videotape is quite amazing, George. It looks alive. It really does. And I have many, like, roughly 10 hours of this kind of stuff.
John, this reminds me, do you remember the 1947 Roswell case? And there were witnesses who said that they saw pieces of metal when their fathers brought them home, and you could like crunch it up and then it would come right back to its original shape. This seems a little bit like that it has some kind of special technology to it that in your case made these things out of jelly. But I wonder if we're talking about alien technology that you or Tesla has been able to tap into.
Good question, George. Sometimes I feel like an alien out there. And I think a lot of people look at me like an alien. I think they did so with Tesla, too. But he was a brilliant scientist. And I just sort of accept who I am and get myself into these mischievous situations, I guess. But I enjoy doing all that for all those years and wouldn't change any of it for all the tea in China.
Well, you've been doing a lot of this for a long time now, more than 20 years. And is the equipment that you've got any better than it used to be? I know a long time ago some of your equipment was confiscated. Did that nullify the ability for you to do more experiments? I mean, what happened after that?
Well, what happened after the incident in 1990? 91, 90, when they confiscated the entire lab, like it was basically the weight of it alone was around 22 to 25 tons.
That's a lot of equipment.
That is a heck of a lot of equipment. It also included some machine tools and all the Tesla coils and high voltage equipment. When that was gone, and when I returned to Canada here, I basically decided that I had some stuff I wanted to sell, get rid of. Luckily, all the files and videos were saved because they were in another location. Like I have a cubic yard of videos and a cubic yard of documentation approximately, plus all the metal samples, which basically fills an oil drum.
They didn't get everything.
No, they didn't get any of that stuff. So I was left with a gun collection, which I sold off, and some test equipment, which I sold off. I was just determined, well, what's the point of staying in this country, Canada, because I've never liked the place. First, I better not say that. I always dreamed of going to California and live there, but what happened then, I kind of got nullified and just wanted to return to Europe and forget about everything. Then the Japanese got interested in what I was doing and suggested that I go on a lecture tour in Japan, which I did do in 1993, 94, 95. And I think one of the most energetic lecture tours probably was 94.
Where did you go? All over the country? The world?
All over the country. They were just lecture tours every day in every city. Our home base was Hiroshima City.
Who listened?
Everybody. They had the main television station, TV Asahi, or JOGM-TV, the affiliate to it, covered us for a half hour on the news service. Then they started publishing magazines and books on us. I was with my ex, Sarah Yin. She's a filmmaker, and they liked her, too, and they were traveling around. And the same thing happened in 95. Brian O'Leary then was with me, and we did our lecture tours. He's a astronaut friend of mine who's...
Oh, yeah, he's been on the program before.
Really super nice guy. Yeah. We have a lot of laughs when we're together, and we really worked hard for our hosts over in Japan, and it was just unbelievable. It's like Alice in Wonderland, the way they treat you and what happened over there. Also down in the U.S., too, when I gave my lecture in Denver, Colorado.
Well, the Japanese, John, are good at duplicating American know-how. I'm wondering if they picked up or tapped into you, and they're doing this now.
I can't answer that, honestly. I know that my host there in Japan made two Tesla coils in this building in Hiroshima City and is trying to get results. I thought, well, you're not going to get results like that. You don't use two Tesla coils. It's a maze of equipment that you use to try and duplicate these effects.